water, earth, fire, air. Long ago, the four channels lived together in harmony. Then, everything changed when the streamers attacked. Only the podcasters, masters of all internet entertainment, could stop them, just like our non-existent sponsors. But when the world needed them the most, they vanished. 100 years have passed since we have done Gravity Falls, and Raul and I discovered a new show about an airbender named Aang. And although his airbending skills are childish and mildly annoying, he still has a lot to learn before he inspires any show. But I believe Aang can save our franchise. Welcome back, guys, to yet another episode of
Micah Ridges! Yes, today we're back with episode 6, The Avatar and the Fire Lord. A very crucial episode in the storyline.
Backstory!
Backstory, yes!
So much needed backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it aired October 24th, 2007 in the UK, and October 26th, 2007 in the US. So the UK actually ended up getting it before us, a rarity.
That is weird. Mm-hmm.
Written by Elizabeth Welch Ehaz, now just Elizabeth Welch, mm-hmm. and directed by Ethan Spalding.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So...
yeah.
You wanna
yeah, start? Yeah, so the episode starts with we see Avatar Roku. He's in a world of fire and he's with Aang in a dream. Aang, it's time to you to learn my history, Fire Lord Sozin. You need to understand how the war began, even if you want to know how to end it. Meet me on my home on my island on the day of summer solstice. And Aang was like, Yoda. The dashi system, like in Empire Strikes Back. I was like, okay, Roku. And then we see Zuko. He's also asleep, but he wakes up, and he goes to a hole to investigate because he gets a note. You need to know the history of your great grandfather's demise. It will reveal your own destiny. It says on the scroll.
I wonder who sent it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we go back into Aang, and it was like, this is Roku's home. And then Katara's like, but there's nothing here. Yes, there is. There's an entire village, hundreds of houses, all completely buried in ash.
Like Pompeii.
Or that episode from Doctor Who when the doctor didn't want to save nobody. And Donna was like, why, doctor, why?
Yeah, when the doctor and Donna went to Pompeii.
Mm-hmm. That was a deep pull in my brain. I was like, was it Donna in that episode?
It was Donna. And yeah. Peter Capaldi and future 12th Doctor Peter Capaldi was in that episode, too.
Right?
Yes, not the first time that has happened in Doctor Who history, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it changes to an overhead of, it's called Hari Bulkan. Mm-hmm. Cut to a hall full of paintings of previous Fire Lords, and it's Zuko again. He's standing before one of the portraits, and Azula passes him. She's like, it's never too early for a sitting with the court painter, Zuko. Make sure he gets your good side. Ooh, burn. Wait, I need to ask you something. What do you remember about our great-grandfather's history? Oh, Zuko, it's so strange how your mind works. Fire Lord Sozin began the war, of course. He spent his early years secretly preparing for it. He was as patient as he was clever, much like his great-granddaughter. Mm-hmm. He famously waited for the comet, later renamed Sozin's Comet, and used its power to launch his full-scale invasion of the world. In the end, he died a very old and successful man. But how did he die? Didn't you pay any attention in school, Zuko? He died peacefully in his sleep. He was ancient.
And as we see that Zuko is just staring at the wall of all of the portraits, and then as we see that we cut to Aang, and he's just facing the ocean. I love when this show does this beautiful thing of the villain reflecting the hero, that they're going to the same journey.
So it's like... very appropriate as well with this episode, mm-hmm. kind of foreshadowing a little bit too.
A lot. And then Zuko's like, what does it mean? And I was like, the fire said just get the secret history in the Dragon Ball catacombs. As we see that Zuko goes to the catacombs, and then Zuko finds a large statue of Fire Lord Sozin, And it's very Indiana Jones. I love the whole beautiful room of the final testimony of Fire Lord Sosin.
Also, did George R. R. Martin steal, did Game of Thrones steal the whole dragon catacombs? Because this came out before Game of Thrones. I don't know if there was catacombs.
Well, then again, they're established in the '90s.
Yeah, that's true. The books. Which, by the way, he's never gonna finish that series.
No, he's never gonna finish it.
Yeah, so don't waste your time. But we see that Zuko through some Indiana Jones ing. Mm-hmm. First of all, he goes through to the Fire Sage Temple, and yeah, he finds the hidden passage, mm-hmm. and then he sees that the chest of the sculpture has the emblem, but he puts a fire burst in it, and it fills the door, and then it comes out of the statue's eyes, nose, and mouth, a little bit of mm-hmm. foreshadowing on certain parts. Mm-hmm. He pulls his cloak from his head, because Zuko, of course, had the hood and the lantern and everything, definitely not mysterious. Mm-hmm. And it's full of artifacts and stuff. And then underneath this dragon head, he finds the final testimony of Fire Lord Sozin.
And then we pick up with Roku with Aang. I was like, where are we going? And because we're seeing that Roku is flying with his dragon. And I was like, to visit my past, I will share past. And they're in the spirit world.
And then
we see that Sozin, it was like, as I feel my own life dimming, I was like, I can't help but thinking of a time when everything was so much brighter.
Also, need to point out, you know who voices Fire Lord Sozin?
Who?
Ron Perlman.
Ah, that's why it sounded familiar.
Ron Hellboy.
Ron Perlman does a lot of voice acting. I forgot that he does a lot of voice acting.
Slade from Teen Titans. I mean, Perlman's got a good filmography. Mm-hmm. He's a scary looking guy too, so it does help. He's like, I remember my friend. And we see a young, at the time, Prince Sozin and Roku. Mm-hmm. And you can tell which is which too.
Oh yeah. But Roku, damn. Roku's kind of cute.
He's kind of built like an earthbender.
Yes, he is. I was going to say that.
With that, like that linebacker look.
That's what I like. and then looks like I win again, Roku.
And Roku's because he when they were dueling, he found a weak spot and then he exploited it.
The tree did all of the work. Nice one, Sozin. And then I was like, you were friends with Fire Lord Sozin? Back then, he was just the prince. And he was my best friend. I hope that you get the clue, Aang.
Oh, and not only that, did you see he found the weakness and exploited it?
Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and then he sees this girl come by, and she's with her friends, and then Roku's just staring at her, and he blushes, and Sozin's like, say something to her. And he raises his hand, and he's like, but he's too embarrassed, and I was like, yeah, I feel you, buddy. I get it.
And then Roku's like, love is hard when you're young. And I was like, you don't have to tell me. Don't worry, it gets better. Now come with me. We have a party to attend. Whose party? So then I share many things, including a birthday. Not like in Harry Potter.
No, but that is kind of crazy how they're best friends and that they share a birthday. And they both walk down the stairs and Roku is again looking at the girl. Her name is Tamin, and he is about to fall, but Sozin grabs him and he composes himself, and he's just like, and yeah, you feel this, and then everything goes quiet as these fire sages enter, and then they walk towards the prince and Roku, and Sozin's like, did something happen to my father? No, Prince Sozin, we are not here for you. We're here to announce the identity of the next avatar. It is our honor to serve you, Avatar Roku.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it's assumed that this is his 16th birthday. Because usually, like, back in the Storm episode, the monks told Aang normally you would get told when you were 16. So it's assumed that they're teenagers. He's pretty tall for a 16-year-old.
I was going to say, I thought he was in, like, his 20s.
They both look much older than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sozin's...
Yeah,
I love how it switches between Sozin and Roku.
Because we see Aang getting the dream, and then we see Zuko reading the testimony.
Yep. Soon the day came when my friend Roku had to leave the Fire Nation and face his destiny as the Avatar. He needed to travel the world so he could master the other elements. And then we see them both just looking dejected, and mm-hmm. Sozin comes by and he's like, "Hey, why aren't you packed yet, all-powerful Avatar?" And Roku's just like, "Huh." And then he's like, he's done teasing, and he's like, "Come on, show me how it's done using all four kinds of bending." It's like, "I started packing, but then the Fire Sages told me I won't need any worldly possessions anymore."
Oh. I like that kind of phrase, though. Very kind of like you're going to be a minister, like a priest.
You're going to be gone for a while.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get your vows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he's like, "It happened so fast. Everything's going to be different now." But then Sozin removes his headpiece,
mm-hmm.
and he gives it to Roku. He says, "Here, hope you're at least allowed to have this." And you notice also that it's the same headpiece that Roku is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "But this is a royal artifact. It's supposed to be worn by the crown prince. I want you to have it." That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of trust that you give somebody, too. And then he puts it on his top knot, puts mm-hmm. the little pin in it, and yeah, they bow to each other, and then it cuts to Aang having a spirit journey, and then Sokka and Katara are disturbed because Aang, well, I'm pretty sure he craps himself.
Yeah. It feels like a very interesting yoga poses. And they're like,
yeah, and then he's like,
I was like, "Do they have bathrooms in the spirit world?" As a matter of fact, they do not. I was like, damn.
Because they don't. Because remember when Sokka left the spirit world, and he's just like, they're like, "How do you feel? Like, I seriously need to use the bathroom."
And then we go back into the spirit world. Like, we're almost at the Sun and Air Temple. That was my first time in my Avatar journey. It was the first place where I trained to master airbending. That's because we're in the Southern Temple. And then Roku's like, "And that's where I met one of your old friends, Monkey Atso." And then I was like, "No way." And they're like, they're training. And I do love the weird, his glider trick of surfing, air surfing.
Yeah, also, I love that even back then, Gyatso was a bit of a mischievous. Even back then.
And even though he's very serious in the flashbacks, where he's a master.
Well, even when in the flashbacks, he's got that little mischievous thing. He's kind of playful with his friends. But it's also this thing of, like, maybe that's why Gyatso is so drawn to Aang.
Because
it's his old friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're like, "Whoa!" And Aang's, you know, when he's doing the glider trick, where he's surfing on it. And then Aang's just like, "I can't believe that you were friends with Monkey Atso like I was. Some friendships are so strong, they can even transcend lifetimes." And then, after that mischievous little adventure.
And then we see that now we see Roku at the Northern Water Tribe. And then I was like, and then after my years of mastering airbending, I traveled to the Northern Water Tribe. Waterbending was especially challenging for me, but in time, I mastered it as well. As we see how Roku fights and launches one of his teachers all the way through, almost through the whole castle. And then I was like, oh, but he see that Roku is like standing tall and shirtless. And then he's like, and then I move on into the Earth Kingdom. And I love that's one of my favorite things about the Earthbending, when they do that thing of the sliding between the mountains. Like, it feels like they're skiing, but they're skiing upwards. I like that kind of, like, thing that they're doing.
And Roku is noticeably older, too. He has the beard.
Feels like except it's like now, maybe, like 10 years already.
Like, it's black now. Mm-hmm. So it's like what Roku looks like then, but, like, just complete jet black and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he went, "My earthbending master, Sud, was uncompromising, stubborn, and blunt. And a lifelong friend." Like, he thought he was like, "Ha ha, I came up here first." But then you just see Roku just sitting there pouring a cup of tea. Like, "Hey, what took you so long?" And he's like, "Ha ha ha." And they're just, you know, like, ha, all right, that was good.
And then he says, it's better work, but the results were worth it. And we see him waterbending, and then he goes to earthbending, firebending, and airbending.
And then, yeah, he puts them all in different directions, and they all go at the same time. And it's like, yeah! Also, Bitter Work, title of the episode. Remember when Aang trains?
Mm-hmm.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. It
rhymes. And then it says, those 12 long years before I saw my friend again. And when Roku returned, he was a fully realized avatar. His eyes had changed as well.
Yeah, did you also notice the wall of flames?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's either just a thing that a Fire Lord does, or it was started by Sozin. Definitely not a red flag right there. A giant wall of fire.
I mean, like, you need to show in a dramatic way about the kingdom. So I cannot get it, though.
Yeah, but then Roku is just so excited. He's like, Sozin! Or should I say, Fire Lord. And he's looking all serious, and he also has a beard now, and he's like, customarily, my subjects bow before greeting me. But you're the exception. And he just gives him a big hug.
And I love that after all of these years, he was still my best friend, and a few months later, he was my best man. And I was like, Roku, is that girl that you didn't even know you were alive? Yeah, come in. I was persistent. When love is real, it finds a way. And being the other doesn't hurt your chances with the ladies either. I was like, yeah.
Hey, he's not wrong, but he's not wrong.
I mean, like, he's not wrong, but still, sure, Jen. But so like, on wedding days, we look futures to the optimism and joy. I have my own vision for a brighter future. And then Sozin is like, excuse me, may I borrow him for a moment? I was like, it's not traditional, but okay. And then Roku is like, what's on your mind? I've been thinking about the state of the world lately. It's my wedding. Have a cookie. That's with someone. Light it up. I love how Roku says that. I was like, have a cookie.
And he just puts his arm on his shoulder, just like, you know, lighten up, dude. It's my wedding.
Mm-hmm. Like, right from the start, was destined to be Fire Lord. Although we didn't know always how. You were destined to be the Avatar. It was an amazing stroke of fate, but now we know each other so well, isn't it? Together we can do anything. Yeah, we could. Our nation is enjoying an unprecedented time of peace and wealth. Our people are happy. It was so fortunate in many ways. Because of where are you going with this? I've been thinking we should share this prosperity with the rest of the world. In our hands, the most successful empire in history. It's time we expand it. And then I was like, Rock is like, the four nations are meant to be just that. Four. I was like, have you been, you haven't even been started to consider the possibilities. We can rule the galaxy, make the way they're supposed to be. Oh, wrong movie.
And of course, he's just like, there are no possibilities. This is the last I want to hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first real test as the Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was many years before I learned that Sozin had gone ahead with his plan, despite my warning. And he took over a Earth Nation fortress, put the Fire Nation flag on top of it, and we just see Roku just comes in furious. And he's like, I've seen the colony, Sozin. How dare you occupy Earth Kingdom territory? And he retorts, how dare you, a citizen of the Fire Nation, address your Fire Lord this way? Your loyalty is to our nation first. Anything less makes you a traitor. And of course he's like, don't do this, Sozin. Don't challenge me. It will only end badly. It's over.
They broke up. And then we see that cat we see that Sozin is leaving, and he's at his throne, and then Roku, he just disappears. And then we see that Sozin is like they start fighting. And then between all of this, Roku's like, I experienced you, Sozin. But I love how they fight first.
It's a no contest. He even warned him, he's like, dude, you know I'm the Avatar, I will whoop your ass.
And barely he has him from his underwear with
some rock. No, yeah, it's not only it defeating, looks like, he defeats him in such a humiliating way.
It feels like he's giving him a wedgie.
Like the back of his clothes are on the back of this pole, and he destroys everything around it too. Mm-hmm. And then is like, hey, I'm sparing you only because of our friendship. but if you do it again, I'll end you. Mm-hmm. And then he just walks away. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh.
I love how he flies like a mini twister. Like how Roku yeah. flies. And then I was like, we just see Roku's like, Sozin and I didn't speak each other for 25 years after that battle. I spent all my spare time here at home. As we see Roku, he already all with Tamen. All of a sudden, he sees fireballs falling from the sky and crashing into his island. As we see that trying to survive, and then we see that his headpiece that Roku had falls into the floor. And then we see that we need to fight. We need that he goes through between all of the smoke and ash. Roku's like, let's go! As he tries to bend all of the smoke and ash out of his way to create a path. He sees all of the people. And then we see his dragon flying up Fang also from behind the house. And then he keeps going and going. And then as we see that Tamen runs up with the town people, but then Roku sees all of the advancing smoke and tries to protect himself. And then Sozin's like, Roku's island was, Sozin was like, Roku's island was 100 miles away, but I could still feel the rumbling, seeing the black plume of smoke, and I had never seen anything like this catastrophe. And then,
like the lightning strikes above the volcano and the earth rumbling. So this volcano is erupting. Like he said, he could feel it from 100 miles away. That's bad. And then we see such a badass moment. We see Roku fighting a volcano, an erupting volcano. And he earthbends a giant wall to meet it, but then that overflows. So what does he do? He makes two crevices so that the lava will pour out on the side. But even then, that's still not enough. And then even Aang is like, this is amazing, Roku. You're battling a volcano and you're winning. He's like, unfortunately, my success didn't last long, Aang. There was no way I could do it all. And we see that he goes to the top of it and he runs up and he blows a powerful blast of air from his mouth so it cools and hardens the top of it and he lands on it. And then a big poisonous gas spouts right to his right and almost gets him. And then suddenly lava appears on his right. And then just, you know, he's just fighting all this. And he's like, battling the elements was hard enough. I had to do well. I could barely breathe. The poisonous volcanic gases were overwhelming. So he's literally fighting nature. I'm sorry. I just can't get over that. Have it you ever like, awesome. If you've ever seen a volcano, and it's a scary thing, seeing an erupting volcano.
It's scary, very scary. That's the thing. That's one of my biggest fears of volcano. I have seen Dante Speak. That movie. Ooh. But also because also like I remember when I grew up in my city in Mexico, they always said that there was a mountain called Topo Chico. There was a big rumor for centuries that was a dormant volcano, but they never confirmed it. And so it was always like the legend. I was like, in any moment could erupt. Thank God it didn't happen. But yeah, that's a very scary thing because it's nature. And it's also like, it is also pretty interesting because it is an avatar fighting nature. It's pretty interesting.
With the avatar staying, you see how even a fully realized avatar who's had years of practice, hell, decades of practice, how hard it is for him. Mm-hmm. And it's still kicking his butt. But you know what? He manages to help with one of them, but apparently there's more than one volcano on this island. Why would anybody want to set up a homestead on an island with like three active volcanoes? I have no idea.
Rent was cheap.
Maybe. But then we see, like, Roku's like, ah. And then Sozin comes up, and, oh, yeah, now they're both, like, super old now.
Very Spider-Man.
They even have, like, even Sozin has, like, the liver spots and everything. Mm-hmm. I love details like that with, like, the wrinkled skin, mm-hmm. the liver spots, and now the white hair. He's like, need a hand, old friend. Sozin, there's not a moment to waste. And then it's the both of them on their dragons. Mm-hmm. And then Like, luckily, all the townspeople evacuated on the boats.
Yep.
But we see both of them. Sozin, do you notice how it's like the lightning?
Mm-hmm.
How he balanced on the mouth of the vent of it, and he cools the lava by absorbing the heat, and then he passes it through himself, and he redirects it through his other hand.
Mm-hmm. And then as we see, I was like, Drogon is like, don't breathe the toxic gas. As we see that the gas is still like going directly next to Sozin. As we see that Roku's trying to airbend, and I was like, hey, Drogon is like, it's just too much. And then as we see that Roku falls to his knees, and he looks out to Sozin and calls and asks himself, please.
Yeah, because one of the gases just erupted straight into his face.
Mm-hmm. And then Sozin is like, without you, all my plans are suddenly possible. I have a vision for the future, Roku. Dun, 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 dun.
So basically, it's like, hey, I could save my friend, but then, wait a minute, if you're dead, no one's in my way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, screw you. I'm just going to throw away decades of friendship and everything so I could become Hitler.
Basically, more like Caesar, though.
Well, yeah. any dictator, Julius Caesar. Yeah. Napoleon Bonaparte, like, there's a figure in Avatar lore. We'll get there many.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that one. That is
very much like Napoleon, or like a dictator, like a military leader. I know who you're talking about. You know exactly who I'm talking about. If you've watched Korra, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But then all this ash and smoke comes, and it's coming like this huge tidal wave, and it's going to engulf everything, and Roku's like, get out of here, Fang, because his dragon comes and actually covers him and goes down with Roku, because he dies right there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets killed by a volcano.
I mean, that's a pretty cool way to go, though.
When that happens, we see a bright light, and the camera fades, and we see this little baby crying, and then Aang's like, wait, that's me, isn't it? Yep. Make sense of our pasting, and you will bring peace and restore balance in the world. Roku, Roku! But then we cut to Zuko reading the last of it.
And with Roku gone, the Great Comet returning, the timing was perfect to change the world. And as we see Sozin, it's just Daniel McKinney looking like he's all of his navy leaving. I knew the next Avatar would be born as an Air Norman, so I wiped out all of the Air Temples. But somehow the new Avatar eluded me. I wasted the remainder of my life in his search for Vayne. For right now, he's hiding somewhere. Fire Nation's greatest threat, the Last Airbender.
Roll credits, and I love how literally Aang's iceberg was right underneath him.
Very American tale. He's right there. Turn around. Yep. Right there.
501 coming, Papa. That can't be it. Where's the rest of it? And then he's like, ugh. Oh, yeah, and Zuko only found the catacombs because he was like, oh, the snow is worthless, and then he throws it, and then conveniently on the lamp, there was a hidden ink message. Ooh. And that's where it sent him. But then
Zuko goes to the prison.
And he sees Iroh, and he says, you sent this, didn't you? I found the secret history, which, by the way, should be renamed history most people already know. The note said that I needed to know about my great-grandfather's death, but he was still alive in the end.
And then Iroh's like, this is the first time that we hear the new voice of Iroh. And I was like, no, he wasn't.
What are you talking about?
And then I was like, you have more than one great-grandfather, Prince Zuko. Sozin was your father's grandfather. Your mother's grandfather was Avatar Roku. Dun, dun, dun. Why are you telling me this? Because understanding the struggle between two great-grandfathers can help you better understand the battle within yourself. Your weird flu that you have when you do something good. Evil and good are always at war inside of you, Zuko. It is your nature, your legacy. But there's a bright side, though. Whatever happened generations ago can be resolved now by you. Because of your legacy, you alone can cleanse the sins of our family and the Fire Nation. Warning you alone is all of the strife. It's the power to restore balance into the world.
And then we see
that Iroh opens from a brick wall, a hidden spot, and he gets he gets Roku's hat, Sosin's hat.
This is no the Crown Prince.
The Crown top Prince. Knot. Yeah, it was that. It's supposed to be worn by the Crown Prince as he gives it to Zuko. As we see, just seeing Iroh standing quietly as he's looking at Zuko, and we cut back into the gang. You mean after all of Roku and Sosin went through together, even after Roku showed him mercy, Sosin betrayed him like that? And so it's like these people are born bad.
No, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was the point of what Roku showed me at all. And what was the point? Roku was just as much Fire Nation as Sosin was, right? If anything, their story proves anyone's capable of great good and great evil. Everyone, even the Fire Lord and the Fire Nation, have to be treated like they're worth giving a chance. And I also think it was about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And then the line that really, really gets you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think
friendships can last more than our one lifetime? I don't see why not.
Well, scientifically speaking, there's no way to prove that. Oh, Sokka, just hold hands. And then Sokka just quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold hands. Blah. Yeah, pretty darn good. There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a lot of here.
So, yeah, I like how the introduction is very weird. It just immediately goes into it as like, hey, it's finally time for you, the audience, Aang, to mm-hmm. learn about why this war happened.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when he said it was my failure, we see what he means now. Mm-hmm. And it's a good story. And it's got all the Shakespearean elements to it, like love and betrayal.
Yes.
And plot twists.
And secret heritage. Very telenovela, that too.
And it also makes sense for the character, too, mm-hmm. for Zuko. Iroh said, well, first of all, we get Iroh back, finally, with a new voice. This time voiced by Greg Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, you can tell the difference.
Right away.
For sure, like, but it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the most part, it's really good, but it's not certain distracting. Things...
It's good.
Yeah, it's not distracting. But, like, you can tell it's different, but it's mm-hmm. not... It's not so bad. You're like, oh, man, that's really bad. Because mm-hmm. that happens sometimes. I would say most times. This is not one of those occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like you said, the conflict between your great-grandfathers, I guess... reincarnated within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there is good in you. How many times do I have to teach you this lesson, old man? Coming from the old man. And,
but also,
yeah.
That's the thing. God, I cannot believe that this story, this is the thing that I love about this show. The conflict between Zuko. That's the thing that I love the most. I like about like the thing about the light and the dark in Zuko's heart. And I love that it's very psychological also too, because it's technically I was saying, I was like, you have to control it and you have to decide what path you're going to choose.
And it would make sense for Iroh to also have that crown piece mm-hmm. because he was the crown prince.
Mm-hmm.
He's the older sibling.
And he was the one that supposed to have the kingdom. But because of what happened at the Abbas Sinseh, that's why the Fire Lord had it. That's why he got the kingdom.
That's why Ozai ended up with
it. I always forget his name. Yeah, Ozai. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we just always call him just the Fire Lord or mm-hmm. Fire Lord Ozai.
Yeah.
You could always just call him Jin from Lost.
I mean, that's true.
As he got in. I mean, yeah, that's pretty spot on casting.
I mean,
as like, disapproving Asian father, definitely not helping stereotypes.
Oh,
yeah. But you know, I did notice something. Did you mm-hmm. notice that like Roku is sort of like in this light, and everything is very well lit.
Mm-hmm.
It ends with like a bright light, even at the end of it, because the Avatar gets reincarnated. But mm-hmm. at the end of Sozin's story, it ends with like generally just fading to black, and Zuko's reading it. In the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the lantern and stuff. Like, he's the light in the dark.
That's a good detail.
Sort of like a visual metaphor as well.
That's a very good detail. Did never notice that. That's a very good detail. Nice.
Yeah. So, we got some continuity. Mm-hmm. Do you want to add anything?
No, but you can. I can say this episode was amazing. Though, it's also because now I can see why a lot of people like the Kylo Ren story arc, because Zuko did it first. The whole thing about a villain fighting between two sides. And also, when I got to see this show for the first time during the pandemic, I was like, oh, it's like the Kylo storyline. But then I learned it was Zuko was first. So I was like, oh, nice. That's why I liked it so much. I like when a hero or a villain has a lot of a lot of layers, and that's the thing that I like.
Yeah. So did you notice in the spirit world, Aang was bald and had his old clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when he's in person, he has hair and he's wearing Fire Nation clothes. If the versions of Roku's training in this episode are an example of usual Avatar training customs, it seems that while training in each of the other elements, Aang will wear the standard clothing of that nation, but return to their own when they mastered all the elements. It's later confirmed in Korra. Because, whenever they're training, they wear the traditional stuff of their nation, but they ultimately go back to where they're from. So, that's pretty cool. So the Fire Nation colony that Roku and Fang see has a large wall similar to like Ba Sing Se. The stance and motion that Fire Lord Sozin used to sink and redirect the volcano's heat energy directly mirrors the form that Iroh and Zuko used to channel and redirect lightning. When the Eastern Air Temple is seen burning, haunting image of just Sozin's face like in the back where we see like the temples burning. This is for children, but mind you, the sky seems to be orange due to the comet. Apparently, Iroh's long period without dialogue is believed by some to be related to the death of Mako. But on the DVD commentary, the creators explained they had already planned to have Iroh remain silent for the first few episodes. So it's a weird twist of fate if that's true.
It's a very interesting.
So Fire Lord Sozin justifies the invasion of the other nations as sharing wealth, a concept derived from Japanese imperialism. In World War II, the Japanese Empire used an ideological construct, Daitoi Kyokin, the Great East Asia Prosperity Sphere, to justify invading China and conquering the South Pacific, just as the Fire Nation has invaded the Earth Kingdom and Water Tribes. So, and that's basically because the Fire Nation was drawn on Imperial Japan, like during that time. It's funny that the relationship of Roku and Sozin, they go to friend to enemy, it's juxtaposed with Aang and Zuko, which has, the opposite.
It's like poetry or rhymes.
Yeah, and then the creators said that this episode was one of the most complex of the series, with by far the most background designs of any episode. Probably because they had to create a volcano. This episode is sponsored by me saying the word volcano.
Because you bought the encyclopedia that Joey had in that Friends episode with the V.
Pretty much, yeah. And this is the last episode in the series which Aang enters the spirit world. It's a good point. So yeah, Avatar and the Fire Lord. Really nice story. And all I gotta say is, do you think friendships can transcend lifetimes?
Yes.
I do too.
I mean, like, it also because of that scene in Korra too.
but at least in the Avatar universe, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. I was really like, I also think about that too.
Yeah. it's amazing what friendship does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many franchises that are based off of friendship, like Lord of the Rings, hell, My Little Pony.
I mean, like, the tagline is friendship is magic.
Kingdom Hearts.
Star Wars.
Everything revolves to love and friendship, and I love it. So what do you want to rate this episode?
I will give this episode... You know what? I'm going to give it a nice 10. So it was a really good damn episode. Not an 11, but it was a very good 10. Very amazing episode. Great twist. Because I remember when I saw this on Netflix, I immediately texted you. I was like, wait, what? Because I never suspected that Zuko was technically related to the Avatar. And that was a good twist.
I agree. I remember watching that for the first time and I went, what? I didn't understand that. But then, obviously, you needed Iroh to spell it out. I'm going to give this episode a 9.5. Nice. It just cuts all the bullshit. There's still little bits of comedy, but mostly, it's just a very well-told story. Straight and to the point.
I totally agree with that.
And you definitely needed it after taking a bit of a break of doing like, oh yeah, we're having some side adventures. You got to get back into the plot. Even if it's just for a moment, you need to know certain things. You need to answer certain things. This is a big answer. Kind of like A Tale of Two Stands. You needed that episode in Gravity Falls to fully understand. Granted, that came after probably the best twist. Episode.
Yes.
And then at that point in the series, you knew that it was just a rush to the finish line. Here, we know that this series was not going to last long. But we're finally getting... It's starting to fill in blanks, and it's done in a satisfying way. Till then, next week, we are going to go back to doing just side quests with the Runaway.
Yes.
But until then, where can the good people find you, buddy?
You can find me, as always, at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RobertRDC. Please follow the podcast on SYNSpot on Twitter. Give us a nice review now on Spotify, Apple, and the other ones in Jubilee.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at MasterOfPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. Once again, you can follow our main show, Twitter, at SYNSpod, as well as give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as listen to us on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Spotify for Podcasters, anywhere a podcast can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.